This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
You got your hands full, and I was looking back at the track record for President Biden. Here's what sticks out. The Afghanistan withdrawal was a mess. We failed to stop Putin from going into Ukraine. The war with Israel and Hamas has been absolutely dreadful and destructive. Again, it's the first time Iran has aimed at Israel. China's military buildups are substantial. And that was just this morning what I came up with. Can you argue that American strength and persuasion is better today than it was 4 years ago globally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100% I can, Bill, and I can do that very comfortably after serving for as long as I did in uniform. I'll tell you, this is a president who understands American leadership on the world stage. He has devoted additional resources, not just militarily, but diplomatically, economically, around the world to advance our national security interests.
You know, when we speak with Jim Carafano, he always says that this administration's policy on the specific, these foreign conflicts is watch what we do, not what we say. Because Joe Biden has been very conflicting in the words that they have used surrounding the support for Israel, the ironclad. I think that that's what he said. Maybe it was this weekend. Repeated the word ironclad over and over again about the support that Israel can expect from the United States. But it sure doesn't feel that way. It sure doesn't seem that way, especially when these primaries roll around on a Tuesday and they happen to be in, oh, I don't know, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, some of these northern areas where there are large establishments of Palestinian people or people who sympathize with the Palestinian cause against Israel. They talk out of both sides of their mouths. Fox News reports a little bit earlier this morning. On Saturday, Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack on Israel, firing 170 drones, more than 30 cruise missiles and more than 120 ballistic missiles towards Israel. Out of the hundreds of launches, only, quote, a few crossed into Israel and caused minor damages, according to the IDF. President Biden reportedly called Netanyahu to congratulate him for fending off the attacks while also urging him not to retaliate against Iran and escalate tensions in the region. There was a leak of information that came out of the Biden administration. Marco Rubio commented on
Joe Biden telling Netanyahu, take the win, don't do anything. And then his people
leaking it to the media, leaking it to the press. And what it sets up is they know that Israel's going to respond. They know this for a fact. So why would the White House leak it? There's only one reason they leaked that. And that is that so when Israel does respond, the White House can say, we told them not to do it, and at least somehow, in some way, appease these so-called peace activists, by the way, these ceasefire now people who were out yesterday cheering the launch of hundreds of rockets and drones and missiles against Israel. People that are out there cheering military attacks of this scale and scope are not peace activists. These are anti-Semites, anti-Israel, pro-terrorist elements out there.
So listen to what Marco Rubio is saying. We have heard about Joe Biden's ironclad support, ironclad alliance with Israel. Israel is taking on a ton of aggression in the form of actual ammunition being fired and targeted directly at Israel. And Joe Biden's people say, great job, good defense, well executed. Okay, stand still, don't escalate. Why would it be that the Biden administration would want that information that Joe Biden was telling Israel not to respond? Why is it that that information would be leaked? And according to Marco Rubio there, leaked by the Biden administration. Because again, watch what the United States does and watch what they say. They are not the same thing. And that is intentional. Because they believe that they're going to be able to send out one message to the people who they need to hear, message A, and another message out to the people they need to hear, message B. And it's all about votes. This is all about an election. It's all about playing politics. It's not about principle. You don't have a message A and a message B that are in direct conflict with one another when you're a principled individual, when you're a principled administration, when you're a principled campaign. It is absolutely an intentional political move by the Biden administration. And before you get ahead of me here, are they the only people to play politics? No. But the problem is that they only play politics. The problem is that they don't look at a situation and go, what is it the United States' responsibility in this matter is? What is the America interest in this responsibility? And then meet the occasion with words or action or both. And then you take the result of that and you politically position it to the United States of America and the people who pay for the existence of whatever said plan is, and who vote for the people who make these decisions, you say, this is what we did. This is what is right. And now we are going to politically position it to you so that you understand it to be right the way we understood it to be right. Knowing full well that there are going to be some people who are in favor of it. There are going to be some people who are against it. That's the way the game goes. That's not what the Biden administration is trying to do. They're not trying to politically spin what they believe the right thing to be. They're taking their response and they're parting ways and they're trying to do one thing and say another so that everybody can be appeased at the end. And the truth of the matter is, if you were looking on the television or if you've seen any of the news alerts that have come across your phone or your email today, there are people protesting all over America right now in the streets, shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge, popping up all over New York City, in defense of a Palestinian interest, which is not the American interest. They're shutting down the way of life in America for a ceasefire. They are saying horrible things about Israel. And if you look at what Joe Biden is doing, you'd say, well, he's been in pretty lockstep with Israel so far in his actions. But if you look at what he's saying, Israel, you need to calm down. Sit this next one out. We think that this is enough. You don't need to do anything. Says you. America is coming apart at the seams over an issue that is taking place overseas. And a lot of it has to do, in my opinion, with the fact that the Biden administration, the people who are making the executive decisions for the United States of America, have no principle. They are on sandy foundation. It is not a situation where you can look at them and say, I don't agree with them, but I understand why they're doing it. I don't even understand what they're doing. You think that the people in Israel think Netanyahu? Do you think the people who are looking at what is taking place in this conflict don't hear the words that Joe Biden is saying that are in direct conflict with the actions? He's pissing everybody off everywhere. And his message, his foreign policy message of don't. Do you know why? Do you know why that is so patently offensive? Do you know why him saying don't is so disgusting? Because he's just saying it. He wants credit for saying it as if it's a participation grade. I showed up, I said don't, and then whatever happens, happens. You're not filling out the 10-page social studies assignment because it's a participation grade. And if you have 10 answers on the page and you hand it in, you get 10 points for the day because you tried. He's writing in all 10 words, don't. And he's considering the fact that he showed up to say it enough. But America isn't accepting it. I doubt the foreign policy, the people who are in our direct contacts in all the different places through foreign policy in these other countries and other allies, they're not buying it. And then they leak out this kind of crap that they're telling, you know, just so everybody knows, we're being real strong with Israel. We're telling them this is what you, and again, to Rubio's point, Joe Biden and America know that Israel isn't going to go, all right, America, because you said so, we'll sit this next one out. They're not going to do that. Have you listened to Netanyahu? I mean, again, here's a man who seems to be principled, that people agree with and disagree with. Some love what he does, some don't like what he does. But he has a direction. He has a focus. There's a video going around right now on, I saw it on X. I think it came off of TikTok. And it's of an Iranian woman who is pleading with people to separate the Islamic Guard. What is the who are the people in charge of Iran? I can't remember what the name is. But she's saying the people who are in charge of Iran are not the same as the Iranian people. And I do. I have seen with my own eyes people protesting in Iran over the last years saying that they want peace. And knowing that the people of Iran who want peace and the government who is motivated by these terroristic activities and being enriched by the American government, that there are uncommon interests, that the people want something different than the government wants. And what apparently what the Islamic leadership structure is doing is in stark contrast to what the people of Iran are asking for. And if you look at what the Iranian government is doing to the people there, it's incredibly violent, murderous, and problematic to the idea that somehow or another Iran is just an equal party with a different interest than potentially what is going on in Israel. And then you look at like, okay, that's going on over there. There's a lot of conflicts going on in the world. There are a lot of people who disagree about a lot of things taking place in the world right now. Why does America need to be looking around the corner to see what's going on? I know that my tax dollars have been sent there. Or maybe they weren't. Maybe they were Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's pallets of cash that were left behind when Joe Biden was vice president. The appeasement that the Biden administration has had, the softness that the Joe Biden administration has had towards Iran has led to this moment. They are not disconnected. And while the intention of what the Biden administration wants to see, like what is the outcome that they're shooting for? What is the desired goal? I would like to know that from the Biden administration because I don't know that there is one. I think that they're looking at what the voters want to hear and see and react to in the moment is, you know, we should probably soften our tone with our relationship with Israel and you know, just leave the door cracked for people to think that maybe we're not just for the Israeli nation or for the Jewish people. We should broaden that. That door has been kicked in and kicked down, and now he doesn't know what to do about it. And he's just got to figure it out up until November. They just got to get past November. What do you think Joe Biden thinks when he walks into the room with the television and sees one of the news channels covering these pro-Palestinian protests taking place and shutting down major United States cities? What do you think that he thinks when he sees that? Is that what success looks like for the Biden administration? I don't know. I can't imagine it is, but what's he going to say about it? Is he going to tell them, all right, you've made your point. Now calm down. You don't need to retaliate. Go back to your houses and take your watermelon balloons, which we had to look up in the in the commercial break there. I didn't know this. Watermelons are a symbol of Palestinian solidarity. This is something new. According to, I think it's NPR here, in response to the ongoing war and the different debates around it, people are using watermelon images to communicate solidarity with the Palestinians because the fruit's colors match the Palestinian flag. So I learned something today, and maybe I'm the last one to know that, but I did not know that. Is this the outcome Joe Biden wanted? Is this gaining him votes? If it's not, you sure as heck know he's going to do something in reaction to it that he thinks is going to help him gain votes. But it seems to me like he shows up and sees something like that and breaks something new every time he tries to step in it. The YouTube live chat poll for today: has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency, yes or no? Come vote and leave your comments and tell us what you think. Elaine said, I voted no because it costs so much for food and gas when you have to decide to eat and or pay bills since payroll hasn't gone up for cost of living. Josh said, yes, Ukraine aid, the CHIP Act, infrastructure bill, continued pressure on China, revitalizing the Philippines treaties, strengthening Taiwan. Edward says, all right, come on. Who can say the CHIPS Act isn't a net good? Brad talked about that a little bit. Like, on the surface, a lot of these things are good, which is why when I ask the question, I want to make sure it's a net good. Was the policy good, and was he able to see it come to fruition? David said, I voted no. Obama's third term isn't any better than the first two. And last one here from X. You can stream us. You follow at Annie Fry Show. Would love to have you there. Husker Boy said, he made ice cream popular. To which I say, yeah, like ice cream needed help. Here we are. Chocolate chip, I think, is his ice cream of choice. Go vote and tell us what you think. Has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency, yes or no? We want to see your reactions and hear what you have to say about it along with your votes. We'll keep following him. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're watching as some of these protesters are taking over the Golden Gate Bridge. That was the first one, I think, that we saw. And then it started materializing in New York City as well. And they put up a map, and it seems as though there are variations of these protests taking place across the country right now. First, Brad, what's your initial reaction when you see these protesters?
You're not winning me over to your cause by inconveniencing me, is my initial reaction. If you want to win people over, I don't see how irritating somebody, like, if you're on that bridge, for whatever reason, you're crossing the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a very important bridge because if you don't, you have to go around San Francisco Bay. That's a really long drive. So you get caught in traffic, you're on your way to something important. These people are
You saw O'Hare. They had that show and that.
Yeah,
and people
O'Hare.
Are like, I guess they're in Ubers or they're just leaving their cars in the highway.
Yeah, and they're just getting out of their vehicles
with
their suitcases trying to make their flight. I don't understand the mindset that says you have to pay attention to me, and if you don't pay attention to me, I'm going to make things really inconvenient. It's like It's like you're trying to hold people hostage, and that, to me, doesn't win people over to your cause. And I know I've heard people say, hey, you've got to make people uncomfortable so they understand. No, they'll understand, but if you make them uncomfortable and they haven't been on either side of that issue, their initial reaction to your cause and you and everything that you do is going to be negative.
What about the thought, though, the response to that? I don't know that they're trying to change the opinion of the person driving the Chevy Cruze. They're trying to get the attention of the people who can, like we talked about with that woman before, going in front of the Brooksfield City Council going, ceasefire now. Like, who the hell do you think these people are? And yeah. what do you think the Brookfield City Council resolution is going to do to influence a ceasefire on Israel's part against Hamas? Like, okay, honestly. But if you're shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge, are you doing that to make sure that San Francisco is in solidarity? Or is it bigger than that?
But I don't understand what the thing is. Is it just eyes on you because you shut down the San Francisco Bridge?
Attention to a cause that certainly a lot of people were willing to coordinate today.
Yeah, it's attention, but is it the right kind of attention? I know they say there's no such thing as bad media. But I don't know. I don't see how this publicity makes you look anything more than petulant and whiny.
What if people who were pro-life did this?
Wouldn't support it. Wouldn't be behind it. You don't win people over by inconveniencing them. That's why I don't support the pro-life protesters that go out there and scream at these women going into abortion clinics. That doesn't accomplish the goal that you're trying to accomplish. It creates a negative stigma surrounding the cause that you're trying to support or champion.
But even that is more of a message being sent from person A to person B. This is captivating the country's attention right now. And to me, this is using the American people and the way of life that we have established, the orderly way of life. It's using those people as a means to an end to get the attention of somebody higher. I mean, to me, they're demanding a response from the president of the United States, essentially, because who other than the president of the United States can effectively influence policy, foreign policy and pressure the outcome that they want, which is a ceasefire or a Palestinian state, a two-state solution. Like, John Smith in the Ford Ranger isn't going to be able to get this done for you. He's going to miss his job that day. He's going to maybe not be able to get to his mom's to help his mom that day. But when you shut it down and the news turns all their cameras to it, which they have to, it's a major story. It escalates to an attention level above, you know, just the peons like you and me who are trying to just go about our day.
Yeah, but the people that put the person in charge that you need to change that, those are the people that you are inconveniencing are the ones that put that person in charge. And so, again, if you make people go against your cause, you might get a short-term victory where Biden says, okay, I'm going to demand ceasefire and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, Biden's got a couple more months left, and if everybody else is hacked off at you and they don't like what Biden does in that, Biden's out of a job and the next guy's in.
Which is why, and I appreciate you saying that, I said in the last segment, Biden's going to have to respond. And what he responds is going to be for the right now. And he doesn't care that it's not for the future makeup. We're going to redraw the lines in the Middle East over what these protesters in the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco tried to articulate to the world, let alone our nation. If Biden feels politically threatened by this, he will respond. And I, for one, am very interested in what he'll have to say. And I'm sure that the rest of the world will be looking to say, what are you going to say? And if he says the wrong thing, what is the side that believes that he said the wrong thing going to do about it? Because that goes both ways as well. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how this ends. And I think that the administration has gotten himself into a pickle because they've tried to appease politically. I don't think that they have a principled take. I'm looking forward to talking to Jim Carafano tomorrow on this issue. Here's a principled man, Senator Fetterman.
Well, a couple of things, actually. I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all of that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general And I am here for that. And I think it's just a matter of theater part of it as well, too. And it finally, it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
One of the strangest developments in American politics over the last 2 years has been the evolution of John Fetterman. And, you know, I would say that he sounds coherent. You can understand what he's saying. Like, he has a point and he's delivering his point today more than he ever could when he was being elected. They, you know, that is just so bizarre. The fact that he was able to get elected in Pennsylvania under the circumstances in the position in his recovery. But his positions are unique to Fetterman. And the only way you get to be in Washington, D.C. and have your own unique positions is if you're thinking for yourself. And to think that we're looking at the Senate and going, well, who's doing the thinking for themselves? And the answer is John Fetterman. Who saw that coming? Probably Ethan. Ethan, come in here. Ethan probably saw that coming. I forgot we were going to talk about this. Because Ethan did something pretty magnificent. And when it comes to calling your shots, so to speak, Ethan was very successful in doing that in the March Madness bracket. So first, Ethan, tell me about Senator Fetterman. Your thoughts.
Yes. Thank you all for coming to my talk show today. Appreciate it.
Your Ethan talk.
That's about all I got on that.
I'm glad you brought this up in a break because I think I understand the magnitude of this, but I'm not 100% sure I understand the full magnitude of this. You participated, and I'm very grateful for it, in my son's 14U baseball team March Madness bracket.
This is correct.
This is the first time you've ever played. Did you do his last year?
Mm-mm.
So we do a bracket challenge. It's a pool. You put money in. We pay out half of it to first, second, third place. And it's all on Yahoo, and you won the pool.
I won the pool.
And what'd you win, $94?
I think so.
Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
But it wasn't just that. You did pretty well overall in the bracket challenge, I would say.
I did okay.
You picked all four Final Four teams?
Uh-huh.
Who'd you have in the championship?
UConn and Purdue.
Who'd you have winning?
UConn.
Comparative to all of the people in the Yahoo Bracket Challenge, how did you do?
I finished second in the
nation. Second?
Second.
Second.
Yeah.
In all the people.
In all the people.
So when you fill out the bracket on Yahoo, you fill it out, and then you can just say, yeah, add my bracket to the tournament challenge or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that what you did?
Mm-hmm.
How many brackets did you fill out this year?
On Yahoo?
Total.
Well, if you, I did one on ESPN. I did one on March Madness. So three?
How'd you do in the other two?
They were my Yahoo one was the best one. All of my brackets, all of my brackets were pretty similar. The only I had one main difference in my other two. I had UConn beating Kansas in the final because UConn. I expected those two to match up. I think in the Sweet 16, they didn't. KU lost. Maybe it's the Elite Eight. They ended up not meeting. KU lost pretty early.
Yeah.
And in the Yahoo one, I picked Purdue to win that matchup. So I had them going all the way to the national championship. So that was the biggest difference. So I didn't do as well because of that on ESPN and the March Madness app. I still was in the top 99.6 percentile on both of them.
So
I still did all right.
Do you know how many brackets? Did you ever look at how many total brackets are in the bracket, the Yahoo challenge?
I did not. I saw the lead because there's a leaderboard that shows the top 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at one point, I think it was maybe at, it was either after the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight that I was like, man, I got to be getting close. I'm doing really well. And I finally popped up on it. I just kind of get climbing and climbing and climbing. But I do not know how many people.
Were you tied for second with people?
I was tied for third going into the Final Four. And based off of who I was tied with and who was ahead of me, I knew that the best I could do was second place.
Yeah.
And after the national championship, they have a tiebreaker based on your score.
Four.
And my score was the closest, so I was outright second place.
You were outright second place.
Yeah.
Now, first place pays out what?
$25,000.
Second place pays out what?
$94 if you include what I won in our group.
From the Edwardsville Red Wings, 14U baseball team.
Yeah, nothing. They paid out.
How
nothing.
Many points did you get second place by?
Like, what was the difference?
In you know, they score per yeah. round. You get a certain amount of points per pick that you get correct. How many points were you in second place by?
First place scored 174 points in total. I scored 171.
Oh, my
God. That's so good.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And I will judge you hardcore for this.
All right.
If you would have gotten first place in the Yahoo one, I assume you would have still gotten first place in ours. Would you have donated the $94 back out of your $25,000 winning? Yeah.
That's probably. I would assume that I would have.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be looking at my student loan debts, my credit card debts, my car debts, and been like, okay, here's what I can part with.
Oh, that's exactly what I was, even at like finishing second, I was like, man, I would have been able to do this.
Yes.
I would have been able to do this. And yeah, so
people,
it stings a little bit.
We have these conversations on the show too about like when the lottery is huge. You buy a ticket, you feel a little closer to making it big when you have the lottery ticket before the drawing happens and you obviously lose. But you were really close. Like you know, like Sheila Jackson Lee says, you almost got too close to the sun.
It was, it's pretty cool. I mean, like I said, the first time that I saw it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm doing really good. And it's funny because my brother-in-law to be here in a couple of months is a basketball guru.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, watch, lives and breathes it, knows way more than me. And this is, I would say, the year that I've watched the least basketball in probably 7 or 8 years. I mean, like, I like college basketball. It's fun to watch. And I just have not watched it this year. So it's pretty ironic that this year of all years, I do as good as I have. And there were multiple times going into games where my brother-in-law-to-be was, it's not going to happen, man. That pick is just not going to work. And it just continued to work.
How smart did you feel for that time? Did you just feel like you could walk into a grocery store and you're like, I'm smarter than you people? You go to the gas pump and you're like, I'm smarter than you, smarter than you.
I'm not gonna lie. I was really proud of picking North Carolina State, an 11 seed, to go
incredible.
To the Final Four. I was really proud of that.
Was that a researched, studied decision?
No, it was pure luck.
That's amazing.
I'll tell you what that came from. It came to coming home one day and going into our movie room and turning on YouTube TV. And, oh, look, the ACC tournament semifinals on. And North Carolina State is playing Duke. And it was the last 5 minutes of the game. And North Carolina State won. And it was checking the next day and seeing that they beat North Carolina in the ACC championship. It was a team that was like the 10 seed in the conference.
You went with a team that was hot.
And they caught fire. So I was like, I'm rolling with them. Why not? Screw it. Because like part of making a bracket is like, you never actually think you're going to go that far. It's being fun and being different.
You get to enjoy the hopefulness.
Right. And it's boring picking 4-1 seeds. It's boring. So having, I think, a healthy mix of upset picks as well as realistic ones is, I think, important in picking a bracket. That's kind of what I went with, and it worked really well.
Well,
it didn't really pay out. I mean, $94, but I mean, like, it didn't pay out.
Hey, we should have got more people in the pool.
Be better
still,
next year.
Yes, we will try. Well, and that's the other thing, too. I've won pools before and won, like, about $100 or something like that. And I was probably your age too when it happened. And for me at that time, it was like money. You get $100 and it's like $100 unexpected. I can use this.
Hey, I just bought a new car. So best believe that $100 is going right to that.
But you do well one time and you're like, I cannot wait for the next time. And then the next year, it's like takes you the first 48 hours. You're like, this sucks.
Oh,
I like, hate this. I'm never doing it.
There is a 100% chance that I'm going to be extremely disappointed next year with my bracket. I've already told, I'm like, I've set myself up for disappointment knowing that like there's no way that with how well this has gone that it's ever going to be anywhere close to this.
Well, we appreciate your support on the Red Wings, and I'm so happy that we were able to recognize your greatness in the Edwardsville Red Wings 14U.
Anything for the Fry family.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get your responses. Has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? Brad's a no. I'm a no. Ryan's a yes. We'll see what you have to say.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Say when we come back. Don't go away.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Okay. Then they did. So that was a short story. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad that you're here with us this afternoon. In the 1 o'clock hour, we spoke with Steve Moore a little bit about tax day. And that's today. I hope I'm not the first person to tell you that. It is April 15th, and that is the D-Day for the tax filing that most of us need to adhere to. So Steve Moore was talking to us a little bit about that. And of course, he brought up the flat tax. He's a fan of it. I'm a fan of it. I think many of you would be fans of it. And we also talked to Mike Davis. And, you know, while there have been protesters taking over the streets of the United States today in support of a Palestinian state or a ceasefire, there's also a Trump trial that started today. And it's kind of crazy that it's not the lead story here. Donald Trump and that hush money trial in New York City. I forgot about this until last week. I don't remember which person we were talking to about it, but the Alvin Bragg Manhattan hush money trial with Stormy Daniels and all of this, the 34 felony counts. We have our favorite people. And yeah, I'm talking to you. You're watching right now, and we're glad that you're there and you're commenting on a regular basis. And everyone wants to remind us 91 charges. I have heard of people being charged of things they weren't guilty of before. I've heard of that. I don't know that I've heard of it in Donald Trump's case yet, but I've heard of it. So I just hope that if he is in this process or through the appeal process, acquitted, exonerated, whatever it is, that at least we do the math and subtract the 34 felonies that Alvin Bragg manifested out of his cauldron in trying to change over the misdemeanor crimes that had gone past the statute of limitations to fabricate them into the charges that he has right now to make them felonies. I mean, when these initial charges dropped, do you guys remember how everyone was like, everyone, even the people on CNN are like, this is embarrassing. MSNBC yeah. was like, not a chance. But here we are. And we are on the, I think this is the intent, this is the purpose of this, because it wasn't about this trial. It was about this trial in the context of giving people who read the morning talking points, just whatever you do today, remember there have been 91 felony charges. And it's enough. Because all that matters is the election. I mean, these people are completely and totally invested only in November 5th, Election Day. They don't care about anything else.
Yeah, and this one's really interesting, too, because, like you said, there's 34 charges, but it's a misdemeanor in New York that has expired based on the statute of limitations that they revived. And then they bootstrapped it to some sort of federal law that we're not really sure that they have jurisdiction to. And the DOJ, the Biden DOJ, looked at this and said, no, there's no there and passed on it. It's like, yeah, this one's a big joke. And he's probably going to get convicted because there's no way he's going to get a fair trial with a fair jury.
But the stupid foul ball of the legal system, the appeal. It's the bottom of the ninth. It's a 3-2 count. Bases are loaded. The game is on the line. Foul ball. Then you just got to do it again, and it's more intense. The appeal will go through. The question will be, will it go through before we get to the election? And if we get to the election, will it even matter? There's a lot at stake. The YouTube live chat poll, has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? Ryan, your answer?
Yes, I said yes. He's just because he's trying to do the I mentioned the chip thing. I'll go with the chip thing. That he's trying to bring the chips back to onshore these things in America. The way he's doing it, I don't know if I love it, but at least he's trying to bring that back.
Like every other Biden endorsement that I've ever heard. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the best I could find, too.
Brad?
I'm a no, because I disagree with Ryan on the chips thing. The chips thing has blown up in his face. He hasn't actually brought stuff back.
Because it almost sounds like he just wanted the pub of saying he was doing it, yeah, so that he could be saying he was trying.
It's very true. But I like that they are trying. They are over-regulating it. So, like you said, Brad, the regulations that they've added to even lithium mining here have just been ridiculous.
I guess my question is what's the net good then at that point?
Yeah, I know. It's tough. So I'm going to say 51%. Yes, I like the fact that they're moving in that direction.
I'm still a no. I can't think of anything.
I'm a no. Shouldn't it be easier than this to come up with a thing?
You would think.
One thing.
Chris says no. Everything he touched turned to crap. Saying it nicely. No surprise to some of us. JB said he is good at keeping his competition in bogus courts. Price said no. Yes, if you hate America. Ryan. Eagle said, I voted no. Russell said, I chose no. Can't think of one thing that's helped me or my family. I think that's a very good way of looking at it. David said, Joe Blunder. Oh, I love the nicknames. That was me. Couldn't do something right if he fell on it and had something right printing all over it. Frank said, I can say with all honesty that I cannot think of one single good thing the man has done. And Steve said, I'm voting yes. G.I. Joe is the biggest joke in the entire world. I don't think we have the same goals. I went to the YouTube Live, which you can vote in each and every day here on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, where we broadcast live and you can vote. Like today, we had over 250 votes today, which is higher than traditional poll. Has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? Along with Ryan Wiggins, 11% of you said yes.
Oh, hey, all right.
89% of you said no. And honestly, 1 out of 10 is... I'm happy that 10% of you are listening to this show that maybe could find something else to do at this time. I tried, man. I could think of things that are half good, but they are half bad as well. Mark Reardon Show coming up on 97.1 next.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.